I am among the many people who think Robert Downey Jr. is a terrific actor. Unfortunately, for several years, his talent was a hostage to his drug addiction. After several comebacks that were cut short by drugs, and after spending time in prison and rehab, Downey says he's now sober, and for the first time since 1996, he's clear of all legal constraints. Downey's films include Chaplin, True Believer, Less Than Zero, The Pickup Artist, Natural Born Killers, Wonder Boys, and Bowfinger. He won a Golden Globe for his performance in Ally McBeal. Now he's starring in the film adaptation of the Dennis Potter miniseries The Singing Detective, which was broadcast in America on public television. He plays a detective novelist who has a crippling form of psoriasis, which also afflicted Potter. Flare-ups leave his entire body covered in scabs and peeling skin and bring on high fevers and hallucinations. They also exaggerate his resentments and despair. The movie cuts back and forth between the hospital room in which he's being treated, flashbacks of his childhood, and the hallucinations in which he becomes the detective of his novels, a detective who also sings in a rock and roll band. In this scene, Downey is in the hospital in a session with his psychiatrist, played by Mel Gibson.
Well, physically, you're on the up.
Well, now we have a firm grasp of the obvious.
Why do you still feel so disappointed in things as they are?
Things as they are, no concern of mine.
You object to the use of the word things?
There's a lot of words I don't like.
Such as?
Decaffeinated.
Another.
Oh, good. Yeah, indoor games?
Yeah.
Word games?
Yeah, I'm sure I throw you a word. You
I come back with another word.
Yeah, that you associate with the word that I, you know.
Okay, wait. But yeah, but we got to agree in advance that it's meaningless. I mean, oh. Please. There's no diagnostic value. Really.
Fine.
Judge.
Oh, skin.
Scales.
Weight.
Tables.
Restaurant.
Gastroenteritis.
Robert Downey Jr.,
honey.
Welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
You have a dual role, and the patient part of your role is in the hospital the whole time. Too sick to really move much. And he's going crazy both from the fever of the illness, but also from the confinement of the hospitalization.
Exactly.
And he's totally trapped in his head and in these fantasies in his head, and in the flashbacks that are also going through his mind. And I'm wondering if it's not too personal to ask if you related to this character from your own confinements, either in rehab or in prison.
It's interesting because, again, I kind of got it more as we went along. And, you know, I'm not a ignoramus or anything, but it's kind of like if you took somebody out of, like, Folsom and then said, now we're shooting a prison movie. You know what I mean? They'd be like, oh, I know what you're talking about, I think. And then pretty soon they'd be like, well, let's see, when he says chow time, how should I react? You know, I mean, it's like, for me, I was focused mostly on what was right in front of me.
Right.
Which was, you know, a big challenge, a high degree of difficulty. And retrospectively, I now have found it somewhat cathartic, particularly when I see the audience watch the film and get it, and then I can relax a little bit, and then I watch it and I start to get it, not just as a film, but as a parallel, you know, to my own life.
I think that's interesting that you'd see that as a viewer, but you didn't consciously try to work with it as an actor.
Well, I did it at certain points, but, you know, for instance, I've never been tarred and feathered.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember.
That's good.
And yet that was the physical feeling, mm-hmm, of the makeup, the way it was applied, the way
you
put on the prosthesis, there was,
uh-huh,
a lot of paint and gooey substances on top. And then over that, there was a gelatin shellac that was applied, dried at high heats, and then cracked to mirror the flaking effect of the dead skin. So, I mean, that was just ridiculous. You know, but I'm not used to being uncomfortable in that way. So it was kind of new, somewhat.
All I could think of while you were describing that is, I hope you had a good dermatologist. All I could think of was rashes from all that stuff.
You know, the funny thing is, we initially did a makeup test, and they were commencing principal photography out in the desert. And so we did the test out there in a trailer, and they were just going to town. They really, really were a talented group of guys and gals, and they wanted to do a great job. So they just went to town. This, oh, we'll do this leg like stage five. Oh, let's do the face like stage one. And, you know, I kind of, anyway, it was excruciating. And I'm certain they didn't mean to injure me in any way, but it dried so hard. It was like someone had shellacked my forehead and then, you know, hit it with a ball-peen hammer. And there was some scars and some chemical burns and all that stuff. So after that test, things got a lot more geared towards effective visual and effective for the longevity of the subject. So, you know, they wised up pretty quick.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Robert Downey Jr., and he stars in the new movie of Dennis Potter's story, The Singing Detective. Now, this is your first big film role since being clean for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stop me if this is too personal, but I figure for anybody who wants to work with you now, they're probably asking themselves, am I taking a big risk here? Is he going to be okay for the whole film? Do you feel like you're in the position where you have to, like, prove yourself to everybody if you accept a job?
I think proving oneself has to do with a deficit in confidence or self-trust. And up until a couple years ago, even before I had any real dependency on drugs, that might have been true. I've never missed a day of work in my life. I've never been the reason that something couldn't continue. That's not entirely true now that I think about it, because there were bleed-throughs from things. I mean, it's just miraculous, really, that throughout everything I've been able to always continue working and not put myself too much at the mercy of having to do something I didn't believe in. Nowadays, the truth is, someone said this to me. They said, I'm actually the least risky person to work with, if you know me and where I'm at. And there's a lot of sleepers out there. You never know when they're going to show you they got a little problem.
Why are you least risky right now, do you think?
Because I might as well have a urinalysis machine hooked up to the internet. You know, and I'm fortunate in that way. It takes what it takes. And for me, it's nothing external has ever been enough. But now, as one of my mooring lines, and I'm, you know, not too proud to admit it, you know, I am not afforded the dubious luxury of deception. If I'm doing all right, it's obvious. If I'm not doing all right, even a little bit, it's obvious.
Right. Some people say that they think that being incarcerated actually, you know, saved their lives because it forced them to be without drugs. Other people say, well, you get drugs in prison, but, you know, I've heard both sides of that.
You know, whatever floats your boat, some people are so afraid of being in the box that fear works for them. Some people are so afraid of being in the box again that works. I've never really had much of a fear of either. You know, it didn't work for me at all. And it could never work for me because, you know, I like a good box.
You were okay being, you know, being alone and confined?
Well, it was awful, but, yeah, I wasn't, you know, it's not like I was like, I can't take this anymore. Oh, God, why me? I was like, oh, I'm in a box. This sucks. What am I going to read today?
You always strike me as a really brave actor, someone really willing to take risks. And a lot of the personalities that you've played in your films are those really edgy personalities, people who are obsessive, or they're liars, or they're kind of over the top in some way or the other. Mm-hmm. And the roles that I think of, the movies I think of there are Pickup Artist, Two Girls and a Guy, Wonder Boys. I just think it's so much fun watching you. on screen. There's a scene, God, I forget what the song is, but there's a scene in Two Girls and a Guy, which is a James Toback film, in which you're basically lying to everybody in your life in that movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where you break out into song, and I'm forgetting what the song is.
Oh, Jackie Robinson's You Don't Know Me?
That's it.
Yeah.
Can you just talk about that scene a little bit?
Oh, yeah. He's he goes into his apartment. The two gals.
This is it, yeah.
Philandering or hiding in the loft closet. And he gets home and he calls both of them on the telephone and tells them they're the only one. And you know, we know that that's about to blow up. But he's still thinking everything's cool. And he goes over to his piano microphone and sings to himself in kind of a less than serious way.
Why don't we hear that part of the scene?
You give your hand to me, and then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me? No, you don't know me. No, you don't know the one who dreams of you at night, afraid and shy. Honey, I let my chance go by, the chance you might have loved me too. You give your hand to me, and then you say goodbye.
It's a really fun scene, I have to say. And you've been singing more since then. You sang on Ally McBeal. You sing the final song in The Singing Detective, even though your character is lip-syncing in the credit sequence at the end. You're actually singing. Do you like to sing?
I've always liked it. And I always encourage people to say, I can't really sing. I go, you know what? It's fundamentally impossible for the human body to not be able to produce, hold, carry, and interact in complex ways with tones and music and all that stuff. It's our nature. 3.5 billion years of DNA saying sing.
So what do you most like to sing?
I've composed stuff since I was 17.
Really?
I have a big stockpile of stuff. Again, you know, here's my fear. You know, I'm confident about my work. I know it's good. I just wouldn't want to release it as a lark. I would want to really, really... And I was with Sting in Chicago just a day or two ago and went and saw him in Grant Park for a big fundraiser for Save the Music. And, you know, he will sell no wine before it's time. And so, you know, I kind of am cautioned against just doing that, you know, instant gratification. Let me put out some of the stuff I've written, you know. I'm told I'm kind of a perfectionist in my work as an actor, and it doesn't even hold a candle to how I feel about music.
Robert Downey Jr. is my guest, and he's starring in the new movie, The Singing Detective. So how old were you when you got your first agent?
I was doing a play at the Colonnades across from the Public Theater when I wasn't bussing tables at the Central Falls right down the street on West Broadway. And I was in a play called Fraternity about SMU. And someone came to see one of the other actors in it who wound up having an interesting career himself. And they asked if they could talk to me and said that they'd be interested in signing me. And the funny thing was, I really was working as hard as I could when I did that little play, and I didn't expect much out of it. But I'd get there an hour and a half before curtain, and I was like 16 or 17. I would do yoga, and I would run over the scenes, and I would go out and touch the lights, and, you know, all this kind of really ethereal approach to doing a little like 60-seat theater who gives a damn play, you know. But I needed that, and I ritualized it. And it's funny, you know. It's almost like I never have worked as hard since in a certain fashion as I did right at the very, 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 very beginning in theater.
Who were you hoping to become? Was there an actor or a certain type of actor that you think you were modeling yourself on?
Well, let's see. Later on, when I was already up and running, Sean Penn was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I was hugely affected by Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio,
mm-hmm.
Scott Baio. You know, all the guys who seemed like, wow, look at him go. And then when I got out to California, the whole Brat Pack thing was already sealed up and rolling, and I thought they were all amazing.
What about older films? Did you watch a lot of older films when you were getting started?
Well, let me put it this way. I remember my dad bringing me to see, like, Slaughterhouse-Five and Le Grand Bouff and Truffaut movies. And I mean, it's amazing the things that I saw before I was 10 years old.
Wait, isn't Le Grand Bouff the movie where they eat themselves to death? Is that Le Grand Bouff?
Exactly. Wasn't that great?
Oh, I hated that film.
It was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I just remember the scene where the couple was making love and someone's knocking at the door and the guy says, I'm coming! And I was like, why is that funny? God, I don't get anything. And then as often as not, we'd be watching other movies and my dad would just stand up and say, we're gone. I'd be like, why? He goes, oh, this thing's scuffed. And we didn't even make it through the opening credits. He like didn't like the visual and we were splitting.
Well, that might have been helpful, though. Was he always pointing out these things that you never would have noticed as a child if you didn't have a filmmaker father to point them out?
Sure. But aside from that, I was given a very, very specific education. You know, I mean, Preston Sturges was, you know, we named our Yorkshire Terrier after him. Kubrick, as I said before, that was our cat. You know, I mean, it was like, everything was about great directors in our household and writers.
Let's get back to our interview with actor Robert Downey Jr. He's starring in the new film, The Singing Detective. Your father was a filmmaker. What did you think of, like, movie making as a life?
I didn't think of anything else as a life. I mean, I knew I had friends whose fathers were doctors or worked down at, you know, the sporting goods store, which is great because I wanted a BB gun. You know, I mean, it was like, it just seemed like, and I have to credit my folks with this, you know, it was a very organic approach to something technical, artistic, and kind of otherworldly. And then my mother is a very, very gifted actress and singer and comedian, and my father was primarily a writer who decided that he should direct what he wrote to kind of keep it true to his original intent. And it's an amazing director, very influential director. And, but more importantly than that was I had this sense of if you wanted to do something that seemed like only a small percentage of people on Earth were chosen to do that, you could do whatever you wanted. My dad always says this. He goes, anybody can act. Hardly anybody can direct. And nobody can write. So in descending order, I'm kind of in, you know, I get the bronze medal. You know, but
Your father, Robert Downey, is most famous for his film Putney Swope, which was a comedy about the advertising industry and about race. What impact did it have on your life when that film became popular? How old were you then?
I was 3 or 4 when it came out. I think what it was is there was a huge reaction to it, particularly from, you know, the 10 or 12 guys, you know, that are my dad's age who've really kind of formed the artistic element of Maverick filmmaking since. And so he was very much revered and hailed, this just, you know, super innovative guy. And so the only impact it really had on me was I knew that my dad was something really, really, really special. And I remember this day that he was wearing a Superman shirt, because that was kind of like the kind of shirts you were getting down on Bleecker Street instead of the NYPD shirts or, you know, whatever nowadays. And I just remember, there's my dad, and he's wearing a Superman shirt. And he had a throne in his bedroom.
He had a throne in his bedroom?
You know, imagine what year it was, too. We're talking, you know, this is like 33 years ago. You know, everyone had a throne in their bedroom.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Come on, you know, or they had the glass beads going into the kitchen, and, you know, the kitchen had a big, like, smiley face hubcap on the wall. I mean, it was great. Everyone's cat was named something like George Washington or Kubrick or whatever.
So I'm getting the picture that you're really like the child of hippie parents. Very successful film world hippie parents.
Isn't that funny? Because they were actually squares.
Really?
But the same way that, you know, I might be considered a square by people who really know me. And then before I go out to this premiere tonight, I'll put on, like, you know, a Helmut Lang shirt and a pair of cool glasses and a, you know, somebody else's jacket that I have to return in a week. And it's like, whoa, look at him. He's mod. You know, no, I'm not. I'm a total nerd. I just clean up nice once in a while.
So, was there a lot of structure in your life when you were growing up?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there was a structure. There was a structure, all right. Kind of like, yeah, that's how complexes are created, out of structures.
So I mean, really, was there, like, discipline and structure, or were you pretty free to do whatever?
I went to school, you know. Went to school. I was in judo. I was in chorus. I was in drama. And that's all I got.
You dropped everything out of school at the age of 17, right?
Yes, gladly.
Right.
Things had gotten to the point where Mom and Dad split up. Dad's going back east. He says, you can stay or you can go. And then he left. And I was like, why am I staying with a buddy of mine from high school in a garage in the Venice Canals? I got to get out of here. I got to go to New York. So I went back to New York, where I was from. And then I started working in theater and kind of put a little career together. And I couldn't have done both. I couldn't have finished out the school year, waited till summertime, and then gone back east. I wouldn't have made it. I didn't have any dough. I had a job at Thrifty's, but all of us got fired because two of us were stealing, and, you know, it was time to move on.
So did you go for, like, acting training, or did you just go right into auditions?
Kind of both. I realized quickly that I was never going to get a Casio commercial or a Dr. Pepper spot, because I couldn't bring myself to say, when the lady comes in and goes, you're the Pied Piper and everyone wants to be like you. Now let's get the next group in. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta go. No, you don't have to go. Come in here. We're doing the auditions. I was like, no, I swear to God, I don't know how to sell a little keyboard. Well, of course, now I would, because I'm technically proficient. But I learned, you know that little movie out, Todd Graff's movie, Camp?
Oh, I love that film.
I went to Stage Door Manor.
Did you really?
Sure.
This is a summer camp for the performing arts.
Yes, in Loch Sheldrake it was initially, and Todd Graff and I were in, you know, plays and learned stuff. And
one of the funny things about camp, about the movie, is that they do these, like, overly sophisticated, ambitious, like, Sondheim musicals. It's 12-year-olds. Were you in a position like that?
Join us now, we're on a marathon. Jacques Brel is alive and well, living in Paris. Jules Pfeiffer presents. I was like, who are all these people? It's like, shut up, light a Newport. Come here, kid. It was great. Never forget it. And then there was regional theater, and then there was off-Broadway and musicals. And so, you know, in my own way, you know, when I'm out west, you know, there's very few people who were afforded the kind of training I was. Like, what did you do? Well, I surfed, and I went to Baja, and I went to Club Med and got some drink beads, and then I, like, did a movie. You know, it's like I had a little different than that.
Well, I really want to wish you good luck, and, you know, with your movies and with life and everything, and I really thank you for doing the interview. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, this was good.
Robert Downey Jr. is starring in the new movie, The Singing Detective. It opens on Friday.